What do you think libertarianism is? Is it philosophy or is it not a philosophy?
Yeah, libertarian comes from the word liberty, right? So, like, it is a philosophy if you care about freedom, and philosophy means love of knowledge. So if you love the knowledge of freedom, then you love freedom, then you are a libertarian, essentially. And that's why there's so many different words that represent libertarianism, like voluntarist, for example. It's like one form of libertarian. And then there's other people who say, well, even anarchism is part of libertarianism. So that's interesting, because there's a lot of people who are political, some people who aren't political, but yet everybody just cares about liberty. Right. So the foundation of libertarian is just liberty. That's where the word comes from.
Yeah. But my thing is, you know, whenever somebody hears the words liberty, they automatically think like, you know, in actuality it is, you know, no government or less government. And then, you know, when it comes down to like talking points like that, they say, oh, so you want a country of complete freaking anarchy. And when the anarchy, they mean like violence, some malicious crimes. And, you know, some people who are anarcho-capitalists, you know, they were like, no, that's not what, you know, the anarchy we're talking about. It's more about, you know, no government touching us. We don't want government touching us. And we want more freedom to the people. But you know you got people who would take forth Karl Marx's theory of socialism and think like that would be the best thing for a lot of people, which in actuality, you know, me and you both know that that's not really a good thing right there. So what do you think, how do you what plans can you spread to some people that might actually bring people towards more into libertarianism? Because I got my ideals. Sure. I want to hear about your ideals.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And what you mentioned is very important, because you were bringing in other ideas as well. Because when you talk about politics, I mean, gosh, there's like 500 different political spectrums. And you just look online and it's like, there's this and then there's that. And there's like literally a spectrum and an ideology for everything in existence.
Right.
Right. So I just want to make this disclaimer before I answer your question. People can tend to look at these identities and attach themselves to those identities. And I just want to first disclaim and say that can be pretty dangerous when people attach themselves to one identity and say, I am this, I am that, and this makes me who I am. Because as an individual, you have a mind of your own. You know, you're going to have thoughts that differ from other individuals, even if they say they're conservative and you're conservative, or might have totally different ideals despite using the same term. So that's why it's very important to get clear on the definitions and look at the underlying principles behind what these terms represent, because that's what we're actually trying to understand. You know, is understand there's principles behind anarchism, there's principles behind voluntarism, libertarianism, conservatism, all of these, right? There's a reason why they're created, there's a reason why they're followed, there's a reason why people consume their whole life in it, there's a reason why content creators are always talking about it. And so, you know, it could be because of money, clout, attention, or whatever, but that's where the identity gets dangerous, because they attach themselves to it. They make it out to be who they are. So important to note that when you talk about any concept and any philosophy, that you look at it from an open-minded worldview where you're saying, I'm not going to attach myself to one thing or another. As Socrates said, you know, you have to sort of embrace your ignorance in the sense of always being willing to learn.
Right.
There's always more to learn. And the only good is knowledge. The only evil is ignorance. So getting out of that ignorance is always striving for more knowledge, because he even said to know means you know nothing, which means it's like, okay, ignorance is the evil, but yet knowing nothing, we can only know nothing. It's interesting. It means that we always keep striving. So when it comes to anarchism, if we break down that term, anarchy means no rulers. It doesn't mean no rules. So just briefly, just going right at what the word represents in Greek, anarchon, no rulers, just as monarchon, if you were looking at monarchy, means one ruler. Mono means one, archon means ruler. So monarchon, one ruler, anarchon, no ruler. That's all it means. Now, people are going to have a whole bunch of assumptions of that and say, oh, well, no ruler means no rules.
Yeah.
Does the ruler equal the rules? Let's say I were to look at nature, for instance, and I say, okay, there's laws of gravity, there's laws of thermodynamics, inertia. Those are rules that we have to live by. We have no choice but to live by them. And there isn't really a ruler saying that this has to be done. You can say that's God if you want, but really it's just the laws as well, in motion. It's intelligence, whatever you want to call it. The rules are there. And so those rules don't really require somebody personally saying, well, you have to follow them. And because I say so, it's like you have no choice, because it's nature. It's nature's laws. So there's a big difference between those rules and the rules imposed by authority, which are basically opinions. They're basically man's ideal of what they think society looks like or what should it should look like. So every law that is written by man, which is written on a fancy piece of paper, is somebody's opinion of what they think should be done. And so when you want anarchy, meaning you want no rulers, you don't want somebody deciding for everyone else how to live their own lives or anyone's lives. I mean, you want people to live their own lives as they want to. You want people to make choices for themselves, what who they want to associate with, what product they want to buy, etc.
Yeah, I would.
And when you make restrictions on that, you say, well, they can't do that, they can't do that. Saying for other people what they should do with their own life and their own property, that's when you are trying to be a ruler, an authority figure.
I would agree to that, but the problem with that is a lot of people don't have like the mentality to actually think for themselves or think for themselves in a individual type of way because they because nobody wasn't really taught how to actually think as a individual, you know. They're not taught how to be dependent without the government. They're not taught to be dependent, you know, on their own free will, on their own hard work. Nobody is really taught about those kinds of varieties, if I guess if that's the right word for it. They don't actually know how to actually put forth some backbone, I would say it, some backbone to actually think for themselves, because some people have put it in their mind, especially when it pertains to the two-party system with the Democrats and the Republicans. They have put forth this idea in people's head, like y'all need us in order to make rules for y'all. As long as y'all go with these certain rules that we put forth in place, then everything will be okay. But you know, some of us already know how exactly a lot of that turns out. It's more government dependence. It's more weapon system. More tech. The taxation rate keeps on get increasing. Keeps on damaging people's lives. And then when people they don't you know put two together about how these two things can actually hurt you know the variety of people, especially when it comes to the middle or low class people who do not even you know when they hear the word libertarian, all they think about is Republicans that smoke weed. And that's the kind of narrative that a lot of people keep on misconstructing when it comes to the word libertarian, because they don't really know what the libertarian philosophy actually is. It's more about you know us being more free will up and us about being able to open our own business without having all these you know authoritarian rules or all these taxations that we can do. But they all. They people never actually look about how the government actually affects people's lives. They just say, "Oh, we need this, we need this, we need it." But then they would still vote for the same or I, you know, ideals when it'll be for any of the people in the two main party system. And you know, you have some libertarians out here, and I also checked out your one video where you said where you and some people apparently in the Libertarian Party had a had a back and forth thing going on, and then they completely just they shut you out.
Yes.
How did that happen? You know, for the people in my audience, I want like how did that happen?
Yeah, so this happened with a local libertarian group and you know, the LP Mises Caucus, I think, as well. I mean, when it comes to me sharing information, I usually do it in the form of knowledge and education. I constantly stress the importance of education. The word educate, literally, if you look at its roots, means to bring out, to lead out, to lead, ultimately, to lead, to be a leader, actually, is to educate. So when I look at a lot of politicians, are they there to lead people by educating, or are they there to lead people because they were voted in, or because they assume they need to be in this position, they need to pass a new law, because they have the authority to do so? Is it because they have to uphold an ideology? They go in with an agenda. They go in with an ego. They ask for money. They beg for people to have all the dependence be on them to create the change in the world. But they never say, oh, well, a leader is supposed to help influence us and make us powerful as individuals, as all we the people. Because if you are a libertarian and you really care about liberty, then you want everyone to be free. You don't want one person to be free or a few people to be free and say, well, this person has the power to do this, but other people don't have that power. No, you say everybody has the power to decide what they want to live, do and live with their own life. I mean, if you even look at the etymology of libertarian, I have it up on etymology, the etymological dictionary online. It says from 1789, one who holds the doctrine of free will. You mentioned free will, just what you mentioned.
Right.
And free will has everything to do with choosing how you want to live your life. And then you wonder why voluntarism was created as a sort of a section of libertarianism, which is the idea that you want to live your life by consent. If somebody does something against your will, well, then that's non-consensual. It's something that's against your own decision-making. So when you think about a law and you think about what it's backed by, is it backed by knowledge? Is it backed by education? Or is it backed by the threat of violence? If you don't comply, what's going to happen to you? Most people are allowing violence and they don't realize they are. That's a mentality. There's a belief system. And that is not something you can change by voting something into office or changing, writing something on a piece of paper. The abolitionists understood this when they had to end slavery in the 1800s, which is why I talk about that quite a bit, because they knew in order to change the hearts and minds of people, to help them understand that, wait, slavery is wrong, you can't just write it on a piece of paper. You can't just vote someone into office. You have to actively educate people. And by educating, you're bringing it out of them. You're not teaching them anything new. You're saying, hey, you own yourself, right? So how come this person doesn't own themselves? It says in the Declaration of Independence that everyone is equal with the same rights. Well, how come these people aren't equal with the same rights? It doesn't make any sense. So people are living with contradictions in their own mind, and that is what we need to look at. The best example of contradiction is when you ask an individual, what is it that you care about? Do you care about healthcare? Do you care about what issue is it that you care about? And you can go on a conversation with this individual and say, how would you want it to get done? Would you want it to get done with violence or would you not? You know, if you thought it was a good idea, does this person think it's a good idea? They might not. So would you justify violence against them? What makes you the person to decide if violence should be used against them? If you say violence is wrong, why? What makes it right in this scenario?
Yeah.
And so when you start finding out that people's own individual conscience always is always above authority, always above a ruler, you find out that rules are always above rulers, because nature and natural laws are always above man's law. In the same way, rules, our own conscience, our own sovereignty, these philosophies are always going to be above politics. It's, if anything, what created politics. Politicians go with some of these philosophies and they say, oh, we can turn this into an ideology. We can use this to control the populations. Or if we keep certain knowledge hidden, we can use that as power for ourselves over those who are now powerless because they don't have that knowledge.
Yeah, okay. But the problem with that is, and I'm going back to the whole healthcare thing for all, it's a lot of people, excuse me, a lot of people want, you know, said policies that were fundamentally help out, and that's in quotations, help out the middle and low class, or, you know, just everybody in general, but they do not actually think about the consequences that may actually come with that. Like, who is actually being affected the most, you know, with these free education, free college, free healthcare,
right.
free this. They don't actually...
Is anything free?
Yeah, no, like, they say, oh, we should just have free everything. How is any of that actually going to benefit, you know, people? Or what are the consequences to actually bring forth said policies? Whenever you bring up that point, they mind completely just has a huge loading screen. Like, they don't actually think about, like, what the consequences may be. Could it be higher taxation? Could it be, like, so, you know, you have a war between these people that don't want this? Or it could be a war between these people that do want it? They don't actually think about said consequences that may actually come with said policies or said talking points that they want to enact, or they don't want to talk about, you know, the amount of violence that these said policies actually brought forth, especially when it pertains to, like, socialistic leaders or fascist leaders that are about the more government control, because they say they want freedom for everybody, but then they don't actually think about the amount of history that came with said policies, because these policies have been, they have been enacted, or they have been tried, and, you know, a whole bunch of violence came along with it. They don't actually think about what, you know, this might actually mean for said people. So my question is, how come people don't actually think about certain consequences that may come with said policies?
Because they put all their responsibility of their actions on others. People who follow orders or go with the system and say this is the way it is and this is the way it has to be assume that the responsibility is not on them to change the world or be responsible for their own actions even. They say, oh, well, I was told to do so and therefore I must do it. It all has to do with responsibility, which then goes back to ownership. Because if you own your body, for example, you have to be responsible for it in order to prove that you own yourself. I mean, that is a practice, something that you have to maintain ownership over. If you don't maintain ownership over your car is probably not going to look so good. And people are going to be like, do you own this thing? Like, because it doesn't look like you're taking care of it.
Right.
So it's within human nature to socialize, to organize. It's not within our nature necessarily to rule over others, to assume that certain people are authority figures over others, and to say that these people have to decide how the world should work for everyone else. What you see with for example, Democrats and conservatives, is the people on the left typically want a mother-like figure. They want somebody who's going to nurture them and give them all the benefits. In your case, they want free healthcare, free schooling, or whatever. And like I said, is there really anything that's free? It's always going to come at the expense of something else. And government doesn't really provide any new resource. It can only take from what already exists and provide elsewhere. Okay, so you have to question, well, how are they providing healthcare? Are they taking certain people's money for other people's money? Would you do that yourself? Would you go rob your neighbor and take their money to supply for your own benefit? Because I bet you wouldn't, unless it was in the case of authority, like somebody with a badge or a uniform. Or
yeah, my bad. Sorry to cut you off. Most progressives would say, "Oh, if it's to save a certain somebody or to save people in my family, yes, I'm all for." You know, taking money out of other people's pockets, especially when it pertains to taxation, and you know
they want to do it themselves,
right? So they need so they need an authoritarian figure like the government or political leaders that put forth these talking points and say, yes, we do need this. You guys need to give us some sort of taxation in order to help out your neighbors, but they don't actually give out a real good explanation about. How are we responsible for, you know, my neighbor when I don't know if this neighbor could be a mass murderer at night? Like, how they don't actually think about certain things like that. It's all about, we just need to help each other out. But they don't actually think about the amount of free will that we could help out if we had more money in our pocket and less taxes or no taxation at all,
right?
Being taken out of us, we can actually put forth some good policies, a good privatized healthcare system, or you know a community clinic that is funded by a lot of people. They don't actually think about
all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just mentioned like a whole bunch of great ideas, which like if I ask the average person like yourself, like, what do you think should be done about this? Their ideas are probably fantastic, especially compared to what politicians are currently putting into effect. That's the thing, is like most people are not stupid. When they think of like how should things be done, a lot of their ideas are great. As long as there's no violence involved, I'm okay with it, right? And most people don't want violence. They don't assume that there's violence in government activity. When they say, a politician goes on stage and says, hey, I want to pass this law, he's not being honest. He's not saying, oh, I want to take these people's money to provide for other people's money, because that's actually what the law is going to do. But he just says, oh, well, I want this law. It's going to do this. It's going to do this. It's going to provide this benefit. He doesn't explain exactly how that law will be done. So therefore, you know, in people's ignorance, they give way to evil. As in this case example. Right now, let's look at the right side, okay? This is all arbitrary, left and right, okay? Some people want more freedom, less freedom. It's not freedom unless you're totally free, unless you are able to decide how to live your own life, what to do with your own life and property. No one has a higher claim over that other than you. If they do, please explain to me how they do. But the right wing does the same thing. They say, oh, well, we don't want a mother-like figure. We want a father-like figure instead. And so we want a military, a strong military. We want a protector, someone who's always going to be there and protect our rights, even though those are the same people who will probably take you to the camps in World War II, or the same people who are going to enact all those laws. You're still making somebody out to be an authority figure, somebody above the average person, which, you know, if you care about equality at all, then you're creating inequality by definition by making a class system where certain people have the right to commit certain actions, which everybody else doesn't have the right to do. For instance, you know, no victim, no crime is the idea. And by the way, most of the, you know, people put in jail nowadays is victimless crimes, which is already controversial within itself. It's like, where's the line to be drawn? Because everybody has vices. But crimes, as in like murder, assault, rape, trespass, coercion, these things are more obvious. They're guaranteed actions. They have direct results, direct effects. If somebody does it, they're seen as immoral. They're seen as wrong. They should not commit that action. But if an authority does it, Are people going to see it as wrong? Are people going to see it in the same way as if everybody else did it? So, like, if somebody hurts someone in front of you and you say, oh my gosh, we got to stop this aggression, we need to do something about it, and they would assume responsibility of it, unless they were like, oh, well, we got to call the cops, which are minutes away when things happen in seconds.
Right.
You know, if they're going to be responsible to take care of it. But they're going to see that person as wrong regardless. Now, let's say a cop comes in and does the very same action. Are people going to say, oh, that's not a good action? No, they're going to think, oh, well, he's doing it for a reason. You know, he's hitting the guy because there's a reason why he's doing it. Clearly, he's got to be doing the right thing because he's authority, right? So they assume authority to be morally legitimate and therefore justifying evil because they don't realize that they're not looking at the action. They're not looking at what's actually being done. They're looking at authority. Authority is changing people's worldviews and creating this contradiction in people's heads where they say, oh, I don't have to follow my own conscience of what is right and wrong. I just have to follow orders, or I just have to follow what my authority says. And we see this in the Stanley Milgram experiments, which is a banned psychological experiment. And we see it in the Stanford prison experiments. I did a video on these and people are commenting saying this is very powerful because these are experiments that they're not allowed to reproduce nowadays that are proving that when people believe in others as authority figures, or they proclaim for themselves to be an authority figure, they put themselves above average human beings. They assume they have more rights, they assume they can do violent behavior, and they actually start to become the monster. So it's like by continually acting as the monster, by continually acting as authority, they become the authority. They start to embrace it. And then we wonder why there's political corruption, why politicians become corrupt. We can put somebody who's right-leaning, who claims he's for the people, who's for limited government, but then right. He goes into office and does everything the opposite of what he said he's going to do, and then all of a sudden, a couple years go by, and he's doing totally the opposite of what he said he was going to do. And there's so many pressures, and there's so many other, you know, legislative bodies he has to go through, and it's just a huge mess. Meanwhile, here's the libertarians over here saying, we just want to be free,
right?
Right? Where now there might be some political libertarians who say, well, we want to put people in office and do the same game, do the same ritual. But there's also libertarians who say, no, the game is not going to help us because why would we be against authority while directly creating one by voting for one?
You're right.
So there's even a clash in the libertarian field because some people think, oh, well, we need politics as the only means of change. But clearly it isn't, because there is a moral philosophical foundation, which is why someone becomes a libertarian in the very first place. And why they realize, wait, if we want to be free, why do we have to need elections? Why do we have to need laws or pieces of paper to tell us that we're free? That means we're not free. That's not real freedom. They say, oh, well, maybe we need a transition. We need to get there. And why not fight on all fronts? But if you're contradicting yourself by, again, believing in an authority while saying, well, authority is not true, we should follow our own conscience, then are you really for liberty? Right? So there's all these people in all these political spectrums who all are suppressing their own conscience just for the commands of any authority. It doesn't matter what it is. And they're not truly going to be free in mind and in body.
Yeah,
I mean, again, the abolitionist is a good example. These people didn't partake in politics, most of them.
Yeah, the problem with that authority talking point is that, you know, there are a lot of people that that do not have that same mentality that they don't need a certain leader. Let's just say Stockholm syndrome mentality. Like they are more for voting for people that they believe are going to be their saviors, even though they are literally like the same people just stabbing them in the back, or, you know, just literally taking money out of their pockets, you know, in pertaining to taxation and the tax rate dramatically increasing year by year. It's the whole, well, we need some leader in order to try to lead us into some type of utopia, so to speak. We need authority figures to protect us, even though these are the same leaders that literally put us in so many wars, so many deaths. And for people that don't believe me, let's take a look back during the 2020 the lockdowns when it pertained to the virus. They was literally the same ones that say, oh, we are here to help you, we are here to help you. But then they was also the first ones to shut down your business. And if you open back up in order to pay your employees, making sure that they got money in their pocket to keep on paying their bills, because, you know, the stimulus checks was not coming in. They was the state, the government was the same ones that came in and said, hey, you open up your own business, you open your business back up, we're going to fine you, or we just going to come in and shut you down, or we're going to come in here and arrest you, which is exactly what happened with a lot of these small businesses. A lot of people saw this, and they still put faith in the government, saying, like, okay, they was actually trying to help us. Like, no, that's not entirely what they was doing. They was actually doing the complete opposite, when they was literally hurting the same people that put their faith in them when they needed it the most. That's the that's the problem with that mentality, like that whole authority mentality. A lot of people don't actually see like who actually their oppressors are. They say keep voting for these politicians because these politicians are going to lead us into a better society, even though that could be far from the truth. And that's just one thing that a lot of people need to get out of their head. And you know, libertarians will actually come in and say like, yep. If you guys want to open up your own business, if you want to open up your own business that, you know, does not damage another person's life, you guys can do that. Whether it be a restaurant business, whether it be a IT business, computer tech business, grocery business, appliances, anything like that, you guys are able to do that without us coming in and try to, you know, take your money or shut your business down, because we know that y'all need that money in order to pay your business, pay your fees, pay your employees, pay other people who come in and want to do business with you, that, you know, through voluntary exchange and not through acts of violence. But a lot of people don't see things like that. And like I said, I don't know I'm pretty sure it's Stockholm syndrome. But
it's related.
Yeah, but what other ideals could you put forth when it pertains to like what I just said right there?
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is, right, is it's the difference between arbitrary whim being imposed on others versus arbitrary whim being educating others. You see, government, when they always come into the picture, it's usually violence, right? And you know, the anarcho-capitalists will say, hey, it's the government is a monopoly on violence, right? This is the idea, because who else has all the weapons and all the arms and is the sole protector of everybody's rights? It has to be the government, because everybody says they're there to protect us. They're there to protect our property. And so they put their sole trust and they centralize all the power for arms and ammunition into a centralized military or police force. Say, this is where all my security must come from. Is that going to be helpful for our world? Is it helpful to have one centralized post office in relation to this? I mean, Lysander Spooner is someone who I study, another abolitionist from the 1800s, who tried setting up his own post office. Look what happened to him. The U.S. government shut down his post office because although he provided competition, he created his own post office. The U.S. post office said, we want to be the only post office. So they basically say that the solutions are what we decide. You don't get to make your own the solutions. If you think you have a better product, well, you can't, because we are the ones who have to provide that product. Now, if you do try to create a product, well, you're going to have to be taxed. You're going to have to do this and go through this regulation, sign this and sign that. You're not free when you have to do all these procedures for your own product, your own property, your own labor. I mean, you're putting all this effort into it. And this is why all these small businesses were suffering over these years and over many years, countless years. Farmers have always been suffering, right? Because governments have always been imposing on their land and saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. Meanwhile, they're providing food for people and they're barely paid a thing, you know? So it's, and then you see, you're going to have people who are billionaires who come in and buy that land from them because they have a monopoly because of the government. They have tax exempts and they're working with the government and they can pay off politicians to get done certain laws. Right. So when you have a dynamic where capitalism is mixed with violence, then yes, money will be used. The power, if you say money is power, is going to be used for evil, because government always adds violence to the equation.
Right.
But if you take out the violence, you take out the potential to do evil, then money is just a representation of the fruits of individuals' labor, and it could be used for anything, but it wouldn't be used for mass conflict, mass war, mass anything, because there would be thousands and billions of different solutions all being able to compete freely with each other. That's the beauty of a free world, is you can choose what you want to do with your life. You can choose what solutions, who you want to associate with. If you want to have a commune, right? And to build a little voluntary commune with other people. This is might be some of the anarcho-communists, or right. I don't know if they call themselves libertarians, but they might. Again, you know, it's just another identity, a word that represents liberty. If they want to do that, they're not violently making anybody comply. Okay, it's not a government. It's right. just people coming together, an organization, a business, whatever you want to call it. The difference between an organization and a business and a government is governments, they have demands, they have a hierarchy, but it's involuntary. You have to comply with their demands. Now, what makes them different from a gang or a mafia? Well, a gang and mafia, they commit immoral actions. Everybody sees them as immoral. The difference between them and government is seen as moral for taking the same immoral actions as a mafia or a gang.
Right.
So a gang or mafia says, we own this amount of land, we have these people, we want to make sure things are enforced, they enforce their own commands. But people are not going to be, the victims are not going to be like, oh, I'm going to go with this because this is moral and this is okay. The victims are going to try to escape. They're going to try to resist. They see them as evil. They're like, I can't do this anymore. And people are going to be like, we need to save these people. These people are being captured. But in the case of government, in the case of authority, no, it's just part of the system. It's the way things are. And these people have the right to commit these immoral acts. They have the right to capture these other people, bring them here, exchange these properties. No one has the right to take from anyone else. If that property belongs with you, it belongs with you. That is ownership. Unless you say, well, you don't own you and I don't own me. See, it all comes down to ownership. It all comes down to this basic understanding of voluntary interaction. And that's why getting clear on the principles is most important. Getting clear as to what is authority and what is a human being, just everyday people. Because if you want people to be free and you want the whole world to be free, then at the end of the day, what you want is everybody to just be people. You don't want certain people to be seen as gods, because people treat government as like, we need to beg for permission to be free, or we need to pass a new law, partake in this ritual. And they basically act like it's a religion. by partaking in these rituals, thinking like, oh, well, it's always been done, and this is the way we achieve our freedom. Like, no, you're born free. Like, you're not born with chains on. Like, you're not born, like, having to sign a birth certificate. Government puts that on you. They say you have to. Nature never said you had to. Nature never said you had to go through their system, give a portion of your money to some people you don't know, some strangers with a suit and tie who claim to be your politicians. No, it doesn't make any sense. So to truly be a libertarian or someone who cares about liberty at heart, even the word liberal comes from the word liberty. It's like you need to understand what freedom means, what liberty actually means. And that means being able to decide what you want to do with your own life and letting others live their own life as well. Because if you want freedom, the golden rule, you have to allow others to have their freedom as well. So your freedom is basically as much as you do not violate other people's freedoms. Because once you cross the line and you say, well, I want to be free, but he can't be free, then you're not asking for freedom. Right. Freedom is freedom for everybody.
Yeah, I agree right there. There's also this talking point where, you know, some people would say, oh, so you don't want people to vote because voting actually changed, actually helps us. Actually, it actually doesn't, because like I said earlier, you are continuously voting for your oppressors. Your oppressors that say that they come in and help you, and the same oppressors that say, "Oh, we just trying to get things down the middle between these two parties that have been in charge for over 50 years," and the more that you know we vote for said people that are supposed to be helping us, the more that our freedom and our free will, our acts of liberty are being taken away forever, especially when it pertains to people who want to start their own business, you know, sign up for a LLC, because apparently getting a LLC, trying to start your own business nowadays, is takes a tremendous amount of money that the government does not even need. They bring forth all these policies, and then they keep on taking all this said money and shipping overseas. Like, how much money have they sent to Ukraine these past couple months? Too much. Yeah. Oh.
Well, money, I'm sure that most people probably wouldn't give themselves.
Yeah.
Again, you know.
I'm pretty sure it's over at least $30 billion. That same $30 billion could have been to actually help us out, because, you know, since people are still struggling to to the point of homelessness. And people say, especially progressives, it's all in the fault of big businesses, even though big businesses they don't write down these policies. They don't make these policies. You can make the argument for cronyism, but that doesn't mean, you know, capitalism or free will or libertarianism. That definitely does not mean that. It means more corruption to the government. And, you know, you have some crony billionaires. I would say Bill Gates, who have bought tremendous amounts of farmland throughout the United States. They don't actually look towards guys like him who have, you know, pushed for lockdowns, and among a whole bunch of other billionaires who have pushed for lockdowns. They don't look towards people like him, like them, and they especially don't look towards people who are in the that freaking political chamber, that chamber that drastically hurts us. They don't see towards them. They just keep on saying, vote, vote, vote. If you just vote, 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 things would get a lot more better. And I'm pretty sure I said this earlier as well. If you, the amount of times that people have keep on voting for these same people, the amount of our free will and our liberty will be taken away drastically, bit by bit, every 2 to 4 years. People saying, "Oh, keep vote for these guys; it'll change. Some things will change. No, even that things drastically stay the same. It may be a different politician in office, but it's still the same principles that came from the last guy that a lot of people said was crony or was establishment. Like
it's the power itself. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, like Ronald McDonald from the Republican National Committee. She just got reelected, and a lot of people know that she is a establishment crony chicken shit Republican. But people still vote for that because it's familiar, like you said, because it's the norm, the basis of actually trying to take it to the Dems, or trying to take it to the Libs. If these said people don't actually help us, it's more damaging. They know it, but they will still vote for these said people because if we don't, or from what they say, we need to do everything in their power to actually stop the Democrats and all that stuff. When you had libertarians come in and say, these people should not be trusted, you guys should actually look towards more into libertarianism, because libertarianism, it is actually for limited government. It is actually for abolishing taxes, or, you know, limiting taxes. It's all, that's what our principles are about. The Republicans may say they are for this, but they are actually not. And for what I'm trying to do, for what you are trying to do, from what I'm pretty sure Fabian Liberty is trying to do, we are trying to get people more onto the libertarian side, because we've seen the damage. Like my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri. That place is a complete hellhole because of the state. Every time I go back there, it's always a catastrophe. Like the roads are damaged. There's so much condemned buildings. The state funding is trash. Even though that same city gets a whole bunch of money thrown onto them, the state came in, damaged it. But then they won't actually do anything to try to fix it, and that's one of the main reasons why a lot of people should not be relying on government. They should be relying on actually trying to educate more people into like being leaning towards a more free market society, where there will be voluntary exchanges, where there will be no acts of violence, and there will be more people who actually want to help that city, because there are people who are not in office that actually want to see that city, see my city of St. Louis, Missouri, actually be rebuilt to the ground up, because right now, as it is, year by year, it keeps on getting burned down because of state politicians and, you know, federal politicians.
Yeah, and if you ask most people, you know, did you vote for the lesser of two evils? Most of the time, the answer is yes. They're not voting because they actively want somebody. They're voting somebody because they don't like the other person.
Right.
You say, oh, well, I thought this person was better than the other one, but I don't like either one, really. And it's kind of funny because they're admitting, like, I'm voting in evil. I'm just voting in one that I just don't think is that evil. And it's the problem with today is now we live in such a system where you have the unnatural justifying the unnatural, the immoral justifying the immoral, and people see as, oh, well, because it's more freedom, it's better. It's like, it's more freedom, but it's not freedom. Like, freedom is not more or less. There isn't like an arbitrary like line of where freedom is. It's either you're enslaved or you're free. Like, there, it's one or the other. And so you can argue there's different forms of slavery. I talk about political slavery. There's chattel slavery. Lysander Spooner also talked about this as a lawyer himself in that system. But generally speaking, freedom, like I said, is the ability to live your life as you please. If there's any restrictions on that freedom, then you're not free. So for libertarians, I find them, and you might, I don't know if you're okay with this, but libertarians can be actually more dangerous than communism or all these other forms because it gives people a greater illusion of freedom. So what I like about what you're doing, Fabian Liberty, and these other people is we're trying to actively educate people. We're not necessarily trying to vote people into office and say this person and this law, but we're trying to educate people so they can be responsible for themselves, because we realize that's the only way people attain freedom in the first place is having self-ownership. So by understanding that, politics can't create self-ownership. Like, it can't make somebody be responsible of their own lives. You can try to say, oh, well, this law is going to make you be responsible, but it's like you're still not doing it out of a moral obligation. You're doing it out of legality. And legality is not morality. When people say, well, this thing's illegal, this thing's legal, and that determines if it's moral or immoral, no, they're two separate things, because something could be illegal and be, you know, really moral, something that doesn't affect other people. For instance, somebody might do medical marijuana, right? In the United States, there's different states that have it legal and certain states that have it illegal, but it's the same plant across all the different states. Right. So it's interesting how all of a sudden I walk on some property, like some just different imaginary border, and all of a sudden it's illegal. It's like, oh, okay, I just walked here, like with the same plant. What made it different? Well, because some person said so. Oh, right. And, well, does that make it right? Just because an authority said so? So the belief in authority is the danger here. And that is the belief that is also called statism. That is what creates the state. So if somebody wants to get rid of the state, the only way is addressing that mentality within itself, that which creates the state, statism. So by addressing that mentality, which is done through education and helping people realize their nature, who they are themselves, their ownership, then people will naturally become free as a result. As their minds are free, like I said, their body will be free. And then when their actions are reflected of their mentality, the world becomes free, because our actions and manifest becomes the world. It will become almost impossible for people to avoid such a blatant lie that they realize is such a lie, this belief in authority. Larkin Rose calls it the most dangerous superstition. For us, it's just a matter of time for the world to realize it, because it's so obvious. When you mix in a bunch of other political stuff and you say, well, what about this political ideology and that and capitalism and money and economics, it tends to stray away from the moral foundation, which is why somebody wants to be free to begin with. It's because they care about themselves and other people, and they don't want to impose their will on them. They want to let people live their lives. It's a moral foundation. It leads into economics, because people say, oh, well, what about this and what about that? Because they don't want to be responsible. They're afraid of facing the moral truths. So they have to change the topic and put it on other things. They have to bring it into politics because they feel like it's a game. And they feel like they have to play that game. And who do we vote for? Which side? What color? What identity do I get to play with? So realizing that we're all just human beings at the end of the day is the simple realization of there is no such thing as authority. It's a lie. This whole idea of somebody having the divine right to rule goes back to Sumeria, the first form of government. It was also the first form of systemic slavery. We're done with these old barbaric systems. We have technology now. We have the security cameras. We can call anyone and get any service done at any moment. If we want to be an evolved species, an evolved consciousness, we need to teach each other, our fellow man. If we want to be lazy and say, well, other people have to do that thinking for us, then we're never going to evolve as a human species. So this has everything to do with evolution. And then once we evolve through our mentality as such, then everything will be drastically better. The whole world. It doesn't matter what topic you're looking at. So politics to me is at this point a barbaric, very old ancient practice, which doesn't seem to fit with the trajectory of where humanity is going. I mean, you saw in the 1700s, our founding fathers were like, there's natural law, there's natural rights.
Right.
And that was never acknowledged for thousands of years. And then the 1800s, these people shouldn't be slaves. That wasn't acknowledged for thousands of years. Look where we're heading. We're on a clear trajectory toward a moral, free, voluntary society. All we have to do is make sure we follow through with it and don't get stuck in these blockades and these barriers that are keeping us from that. And that would be politics or political slavery, as Lysander Spooner said. The whole reason why the government went to war, the Civil War, which most of the abolitionists didn't want, was to uphold their other forms of slavery. They put an end to chattel slavery by writing on a piece of paper, even though that's not the real end to it.
Right.
They acted like the victors of the war. They acted as they were the ones who made the end of chattel slavery so they can justify their other forms of slavery. And that's why they added taxation in after the Civil War. And they started taxing the population. And over time, now look how much people are being taxed for every little thing. And it's just adding up and adding up, adding up. And there's so much law codes. Nobody has read it, not even themselves. Nobody right. even understands it. It's like just papers and papers and papers. It grows inevitably because people believe in that belief of an authority. So long as people believe in it, you can get government very limited, but it's just going to grow again. America is a perfect example of a limited government gone wrong because you had these people who said, well, there's the Constitution. It's going to limit it perfectly. If we just follow it and we know it, it'll... But how is a piece of paper going to change the nature of this belief system and authority? As long as some people believe that other people have the right to rule or have the authority, the higher claim over their own life and property other than them, then there's always going to be a legitimate violence, a justification for violence, when there is no justification for violence, right. unless it's self-defense, right. which isn't violence.
Yeah, just to add this in, and this pertains to people that don't actually know about the libertarian philosophy. When people hear the word, when they hear some talk points from libertarians, they say they would go off with this crazy notion that, oh, so you're a libertarian, so that means that you want no rules, you want no laws in place to actually combat, you know, some evil, vindictive people. And, you know, a lot of us be like, no, that's not what that means, because they could still be some act of policing. They could still be laws in place to actually, but that will actually protect you from said people. But when people hear things like that, they will say like, well, and with your definition, and I got a freaking socialist that says he was libertarian before, but he's not a socialist. And he says, well, with this logic, you guys don't want laws and police. I'm like, no, that's not what it is. Oh, well, if in this free market that you think of, I have the right to own slaves, right? That's not a free market. That's not a free market.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
With that whole talking point that they trying to spew out to say, try to combat libertarianism, saying like, we don't want no acts of protection, we don't want no laws in place, or we don't want no people to act, nobody to actually defend themselves. Like I said, you know more about libertarianism than I do. So can you give your take on that? Because some people, especially some people who are progressive socialists, that may watch this video, and I'll also send you this video if you want to put it on your channel. Can you explain to them? And in slow motion,
sure.
That's not actually what libertarianism is.
Yeah, so it's the very dynamic between rulers and rules, which I sort of was mentioning before, and I'll go a little bit more into detail now. So let's say you have a business, you have a property. I have a shoe. I own a shoe. Okay, because I own the shoe, I have rules. I have ownership that determines I own the shoe. That's a rule I just made for the shoe. Like, I own it because I put the labor in it, and I decide what happens to it because it's my property. So if you have a business, the same thing. I mean, if it's your business, you get to decide what rules you want to have for your own business because it's your own property. Now, other people might be involved in that property, which is why some people are going to be like, oh, well, is it really your property? Well, because it's something that you put the labor and the time into, yes, it is your property, and we can understand property rights through that lens, but there's going to be people who say, well, if something is unjust, they should speak up. Yes, they should share, but do they have to go to violence? Do they have to ever jump to violence to solve a scenario? No. Because once they jump to violence, they assume that they can decide for other people, again, how to live their lives, what to do with each other's lives and property. It's not like the business is going around harming people. They're doing something for their own business. And if other people don't like it, they can go to a different business. They can go to a different service, buy a different product. But the business isn't making anybody stay at the business or buy their product by force, by gunpoint.
Right.
Because if they were, then yeah, okay, the person who's the customer has every right to retaliate and try to disobey that business and use, you know, force if necessary to retaliate against that violence. But in this case, you know, here's just a business, a voluntary business. You have the choice what you want to buy, what you want, don't want to buy. Those are rules. And if you don't like those rules, you can go to a different business that has its own rules. But everybody lives by rules. It's inescapable because if you have any property that you own, you're going to have rules for how you maintain it. And people are going to look at their neighborhood. They're going to look at the world and be like, yeah, you know, there needs to be rules for people, social behavior. When we anybody goes into a town, a market square, and there's not, it's not the same as it was back then with the market square, but let's say anybody comes together in any social scenario, in order for there to be order among those people, they all need to have a shared sense of what's going on. Like, okay, yeah, it's wrong to violate someone's rights here. It's wrong to commit violence. Because if they did, everybody's going to look at them and be like, what's going on? You just caused a disturbance. You know, like everybody's going to notice it and they're going to be like, what are you doing? So you're clearly disturbing the rules of just basic social behavior, which most people understand if they go out anywhere in the real world today. You know, there's a lot of people who are online nowadays who don't necessarily interact with the whole world in such a way, but to realize that people naturally organize. Like anything in nature, humans are self-organizing. People come together, they make rules. They don't have to be, however, the rulers and say, I am the sole monopoly arbiter of all the rules. I get to decide what the rules are for everybody else, because that would make them above the law by definition.
Right.
Rather than everybody being the lawmakers, everybody being the judges and the rule makers, they say, I am the source of the rules. I am the ruler. I get to decide what the rules are for everybody else. So that is the distinction between a rule and a ruler. A ruler says, I am the rules. I get to decide how all the rules work. Rules happen all the time everywhere. Voluntary hierarchies happen all the time everywhere. Involuntary hierarchies is where you have the ruler, where you have somebody on top saying, you have to obey, you have to obey, you have to follow orders. And if you don't, we're going to use violence against you. Okay, so that is the distinction. So when people say, oh, there's going to be chaos in a world without rulers, how? When you're going to have rules and people are actually going to be more obligated to make rules, they're going to be more obligated to teach morality, to be responsible for themselves. Because they're not giving it away to some authority figure, to some order followers, to some politician, to some cop or whatever, to some monopoly on violence. They're going to say, I need to be responsible. I need to protect my property. But now people can just say, oh, well, I'll just call the cops. Oh, I'll just write, you know, get the new politician in office. He'll just provide for me. So people are actually abdicating their own responsibility and not actually creating rules because they assume the rulers to be the rules. They think the rulers are necessary for rules when people right. will make rules all the time and they do it all the time. They're just selectively choosing. They're saying, well, violence is wrong, but violence is okay if government does it. And so in this case, they're saying, well, rules are necessary, but not all the time because we need some rulers to decide some of the rules for us. It's like, who decides that line? It's all arbitrary, meaning it's based on everybody's opinion. Everybody has a different line of what they think should be the rules and for everybody else. But really, it's like, if you live your own life, let people live their own life. Everybody can decide for themselves what rules they want to partake in and what people they want to associate with. But nobody is saying you have to comply.
Right.
So I hope that sums up, because there's a difference. Order takes place with rules. And self-control, like that's self-order. Like if I were to say my body is in order, it's because everything's working together in the body. Like it's the whole digestive system knows it's working. You know, the lungs, the heart, the intestines, all of it is working together. They all have rules and things that keep them working. Now, you know, the ruler of that body, I mean, you can say it's me, my mind. Maybe the mind is in control. It's the ruler of this body. But like other people can't say I'm the ruler over you because they don't breathe for you. They're not your heart, they're not your lungs, like they're not your mind. If they claim to rule your life or your property, they're claiming to own you. Like they're essentially claiming to enslave you. This is what it comes down to. Like if you're not free, you are basically subject to someone else's whim, saying, well, they can decide for me how to live my life. That makes you a slave. Yeah. There's no, unless you think that's not the case, I mean, you can tell me, but.
Well, it is still an act of and at the control, it's still an act of violence. That's what I would say about that. Some people may disagree with my take because they say, oh, it's not the same thing because, you know, we're not in chains here. But in actuality, we kind of are. We are not in chains physically, but by state laws, we are in, let's say the government or the state is more in control of us. They tell us what to do. They are the ones that put set rules in place in order to make sure that we are still owed to them. We are still being dependent on them, even though they say, oh, it's always for the greater good, or what some people would say. It's not really for the greater good. It's more about for what's best for the state, what's best for the government.
Yeah. If it wasn't government, if it was voluntary, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. Like, right. We would be practicing liberty right now completely. Like, we would have no problem because it would just be an organization, a voluntary business. But because they're making us comply and they're saying you have to be under a government and we need government, and people are saying, well, we need it for order, it's like that actually creates chaos for people who don't want that form of order. Like, your form of order might be different from my form of order. And that's why we need to choose for ourselves how to live our own lives, because not everybody's order is the same way as other people's order. Right? Not your rules are not going to be the same as my rules. Like, we all live our lives in different ways. We need to respect that. That is actual tolerance. Right. Not like this tolerance that is going around in politics where it's like, oh, we'll love everybody. It's like, while justifying government, like while justifying violence, like that's not tolerance.
Yeah. It's more out of fear because they are afraid of what the government might do to them. So is it really free will if people are afraid of the government? No, that's definitely not free will. It's more of you are afraid of what your controllers may do to you if you by chance don't agree with what they're saying. And I ain't talking about breaking the law type of thing. You're still in somebody's car. No, it's more about you not complying with what the government says or what the state says. You know, what Uncle Sam says is not, that's mainly what it's about. And a lot of people do not want to actually say that's what it is. But in actuality, me and you and a bunch of other libertarians would say, yes, that's exactly what it is. You guys are applying, complying and listening to these authoritarian leaders out of act of fear, because you know you already know if you say something they don't like, they're gonna send 5-0 on your ass. That's all it is. But
the ability to have fun and live your life is basically rest with the idea of freedom. Like, you would not have health or happiness or fun without freedom. Like, just to help people understand how essential it is. And they don't realize how essential freedom is until they start to lose it. For themselves, especially. Like, and they might say, oh, well, other people's freedoms, and we can take away other people's freedoms. Until they're actually affected, they realize how important it is. Which is sad to see, because that means, you know, people are willing to let other people suffer for their own benefit. And that's the world we live in, where people say, oh, well, if we pass this, this will be good for the greater good. There is no greater good. Again, where's the line? What's the greater good? Like, who determines what the greater good is? Like, this is what I'm saying. The whole system is based on opinion, because it's a man-made system by definition. You know, whereas if we were to embrace God's government, nature's government, natural law, whatever term you want to use for it, everybody's equal by definition, because we're all born the same way. We all live in the same reality. And what gives anybody the authority, like, inherently by nature? Does anybody born out of the womb with a crown on their head, like, oh, I'm king? Like, no, like, they have to go through the same, you know, same set of rules of life as everyone else, you know, grow, learn, all that. And still, no one's perfect. No one knows everything. So people would say, well, we need to be angels in order to have no government. It's like, no. The reason that men are not angels is the reason why we don't want government. Right. It's because no one's perfect. Like, literally, so no one can rule over everyone else, because no system will then be perfect. No law will be perfect. There's always going to be problems. They're not universal. They're not timeless. So if you're a libertarian, you really like liberty, then you have to get clear on this philosophy, because this is what libertarianism ultimately is. This is the foundation of it. It's understanding what is liberty to that deepest sense of free will. And free will means deciding how to live your life for yourself and letting others do the same thing if you want to be free among yourself. Like, again, respect others, golden rule. If you think something is true, act on it reciprocally and see if it's true, because that determines if it's a principle, something that is universal and timeless. Okay. Like if I own myself and you own yourself, then we recognize self-ownership as a principle. Like right. If we understand voluntary interaction is not me not harming you and you not harming me, then that's reciprocal. We understand it. But yeah, government isn't reciprocal. It's not, it's certain people imposing on other people, and it's chaotic by its nature because it's violence and slavery by its nature. So for people to say violence and slavery prevents chaos when it is chaos is very hypocritical. And to say, like, if somebody says anarchy is chaos, I would ask them and say, so government is never chaos? Look at the works of Josiah Warren. He literally is somebody right after the American Revolution, you know, not even 100 years after, he said, governments do not protect property. They don't protect rights. And they started to understand this, which is why I studied the abolitionists. They understood it. The government was supporting slavery. The Constitution supported slavery. They were burning in the streets. Lysander Spooner said, hey, the Constitution does not support slavery. But even then, he was like, it's still just a piece of paper and it has no authority. He never consented to it. Right. So therefore, it's illegitimate. Read No Treason, the Constitution of No Authority, goes into detail with it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So I don't want to take up too much of your time, sure. Corey, but that was a pretty good talk, you know, from that's one. One thing that I definitely need to get more in tune in on some certain talking points is decentralization. But you did talk about voluntary actions, abolitionists, if I'm saying that right. And then you a whole bunch of other things about libertarian principles that would be a core factor of why some people should lean more towards libertarianism. So. I just didn't want to be a spitballing here, but I appreciate you for coming on, man, and hopefully we can have another conversation down the road about libertarianism, sure. And about politics and all that stuff.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate you. Do you want to do a closing statement?
I mean, yeah, if people want to get involved, there's a lot of actions they can do aside from politics. I'm starting up a news site where anybody can send in any article and I'll turn it into a video for them. And it also has a bunch of events and activism on there where people can educate others and learn what abolitionism is, why it's effective. They can even quiz themselves or quiz others. I'm probably going to do some interviews on the street for it as well. You can be a reporter. I mean, like anybody, this is open to the public. It's called The Liberator 2. So continuing the abolitionist liberator from the 1800s. It's the website is theliberator.us. And then if somebody wants a bunch of resources on libertarianism and the foundations of it, like we talked about, the End of Slavery Summit, which is endofslavery.org. And that has about like 50 speakers and hundreds of resources. You're talking Lysander Spooner, all the libertarian resources that you'll need to really get deep with the philosophy. And which, by the way, like, you know, when it comes to conservatism and liberalism, left versus right, they don't talk about philosophy as much as the libertarians do, because the libertarians really care about freedom. And that's why they go into these resources and have hundreds of resources and they have institutes and all this stuff, because they really care about it. Even if they can't get a politician elected, at least they're sharing the information and educating people, because that, to me, like I said, is going to be the real impact, is the education. It's going to create a long-term effect, and slow but steady wins the race. It's going to be the case. Philosophy always wins. Thank you.
If you guys like the video, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Make sure you share this video. Let's get these numbers out, people. Let's get more of the libertarian philosophy out so that more people can get more into it, do more research into it. If you guys want to see more videos like this, make sure you share it. Like I said, like, comment, and subscribe.